Hey, everybody, it's Mike Jeffers, Chicago Jazz Magazine, chicagojazz.com, and welcome to the Chicago Jazz Audio Experience. On this episode, I'm really excited. Boy, this is the first time I have had two guests on the same podcast interview here, and I am delighted to be joined by Dwayne and Dwight Bossman, the Bossman twins. They are coming into Chicago to perform December 26th at Winter's Jazz Club, which of course is at 465 North McClure Court right there in Chicago, wintersjazzclub.com. I know Scott at Winter's has had them up in town before, and this is pretty exciting because they're coming up during the holiday season, so everybody should have some time to get out and get over to Winter's. And guys, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to jump on so we could talk a little bit, because I'm intrigued by your story, and I'm excited the fact that Scott is bringing people up from St. Louis finally here to perform. I know Denise Thimes is up here, and she's out of St. Louis, and I know you guys have been up here before, so great to jump on the phone with you, and thanks for taking a few minutes.
Hi, Jeff. We're glad to be on your radio show, and we're looking forward to getting into this conversation.
Yeah. Hello, Mike. This is Dwayne, and definitely both of us are happy to be on your show.
Well, I'm glad you guys took some time, and I'm going to throw stuff out so that I you guys will have to fight over who's going to answer for the first one. So I'll let you guys take charge. Since this is your group, you guys are coming into Winter's. What can people expect to hear? Now, reading over your bio, I mean, it's a fascinating bio. You have a lot of rich history with jazz. You have a killer band performing with you guys, and I know you have a recording that came out a couple of years ago, but I know that you guys are rich in saxophone tradition and jazz tradition. So if people aren't familiar with the Bossman Twins' music, before we get into your background, what can people expect to hear? Is it straight-ahead stuff? Is it groovy, funky? Because you guys have played in all the different genres reading over your bios.
Well, we're looking forward to playing some straight-ahead jazz, some ballads, some blues, of course, and some standards. So we like to mix it up, so, and something a little funky, too, as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, looking over who you've got on now, you've got Thodius Rogers, but then Charles Heath, Marlene Rosenberg, Mike Alamana, they're all going to be joining you up here, and obviously all of them are you know, well-respected on the Chicago jazz scene. Have you guys played with them before? Were they with you the last time? Well,
yes, they played with us last time, except for last time we had Johnson on guitar.
Oh, Henry Johnson.
Henry Johnson was on guitar. But Mike Alamana has played with us twice there in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. Now, how many times? So you guys have been up here a couple of times. How did you guys end up coming to Winter's Jazz Club? Did he reach out to you? Because I'm curious, because all the different jazz clubs in town, but Scott seems to be bringing up some people that don't normally come through town, and I'm glad he is.
Well, Mike, our connection was from our home sister, Denise Thimes.
Ah, okay.
She's a very fine vocalist, and we go way back to come way forward.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about your background, too, because obviously the Bossman twins, you know, I mean, I'm a drummer, so I'm not all that smart, but it seems to me like you guys are brothers.
That's pretty good. Well, we started together at age 10. Our father was, Lloyd A. Smith was a saxophonist, played the big band era. And he was a regular with Earl Father Hines, played with a side man with Count Basie and Duke Ellington, and he played with big bands George Hudson and Eddie Randall, the Blue Devils. So that was our exposure here in St. Louis, with a lot of musicians coming through St. Louis who knew my dad. And so we would see a lot of musicians when we were young, not knowing who some of these people really actually were until we got older. But at age 10 is where we started. And from there, we start gigging around age 14. In bars and stuff like that, playing with black musicians local 187 here in St. Louis before they merged and became local 2-197. Dwayne, you want to elaborate on some things?
Were you guys, well, let me jump in real fast. I mean, were you guys immediately, or well, I'll jump over to Dwayne, but were you guys immediately drawn to the saxophone? I mean, your father's playing it, but I mean, that doesn't always mean that you're drawn to the saxophone.
Mike, if we really started on flute and clarinet.
Okay.
Flute is my principal instrument, and Dwight's principal instrument is clarinet.
Ah, okay.
So we didn't start playing saxophones until we went to school at Florida A&M University. And actually, well, we got down there and cats were playing a whole bunch of instruments, and we were just playing flute and clarinet only at that time. So we had to get busy and get on the woodwind train.
Mm-hmm. When you guys were young, even with the woodwind train, you know, I mean, you guys are doing flute, clarinet back when you were young, but I mean, what, did you just pick it up? Was it your father's instruments that you picked up and started messing around with? I mean, I'm curious to know, because, you know, with two brothers in the house with a musical father, that doesn't always mean that they're going to want to play anywhere near, you know, some, what the father plays, obviously.
Well, yeah, my father, being a woodwind specialist, he offered us an opportunity to play music.
Yeah.
And we decided we wanted to play flute and clarinet, because clarinet is the foundation of all woodwind instruments.
Mm.
And so therefore, that's how we started on flute and clarinet, not saxophones.
Were you guys drawn to jazz immediately, or were there other influences before you got really into the jazz stuff?
Early age, we started with gospel, playing gospel and jazz. Our grandmother was with the Pentecostal church, Maple Temples, and our first tune that we learned, my first tune I remember, was Nearer My God to Thee. So we played in some of the churches, and then we did a lot of things with the Musicians Union Association. They had the concert band, which you had the older musicians and the younger musicians, and we played concerts throughout the city. And that's how we got into the jazz, because after we finished with the concert rehearsal, they'd have a jam session. And all of the older musicians would let us sit in, you know, a lot of the younger musicians, and they'd give us pointers and stuff. And then they lay back down, listen to this. And then also we sat in with many clubs coming up.
There were plenty of clubs.
And our father was very instrumental of us playing jazz as well, because he gave us right on the spot training, you know.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, go ahead, Dwight.
There were plenty of clubs back in the day, back then. They had breakfast jazz sets, noon jazz sets, early afternoon, like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock jazz sets on Saturdays, and then on Saturday nights, and then St. Louis closed early about 1, and then we go across the river and sit in over there of East St. Louis and the surrounding East St. Louis area jazz clubs. So there were plenty of places to play, plenty of places to sit in, plenty of places to gig back in those days, jazz and blues clubs. So a lot of that has faded out now because, you know, I guess the learning has changed to more or less kids learning from middle school and high school and college with jazz lab bands and combos with clinicians coming in to work with their ensembles, as opposed to how we did it back then.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm curious because I'm friends with Chico Freeman, you know, Von Freeman's son, and he talks about, you know, his dad's playing with a lot of people in Chicago, and they would all just come hang out at the house, and he didn't know who half these people were, but then later on down the road, he realized who everybody was, you know, but it was just like, oh, it's Uncle so-and-so, or it's Uncle Sonny Stitt, or it's Uncle this guy or that guy or whatever. Had to be the same kind of thing where your father's so steep in the music, he's probably got a bunch of people hanging around that you guys were just like, yeah, okay, it's no big deal. But when you look back now, you're probably like, oh my gosh, I can't believe all those people were over at the house or jamming or whatever, right?
That's correct. That's exactly how it was. And we all would come by the house. I'm trying to think of all the people's names. I mean, I saw, you know, cats, Buddy Tate, Oliver Nelson, all kind of cats would come by the house. Those are Jonah Jones, trumpet player. Those are the ones I remember. There were a number of them that I failed to remember at the moment. But later, you know, and I even realized, wow, those cats used to come by the house, see the old man. Every time they come in town, they'd call him up and come by the house. And my dad had also a real nice stereo set, stereo set at that time. And they would play the music for them. They would talk about music, you know, and being on the road and that kind of stuff. So those were great times back then.
Man, that's unbelievable, because also, I mean, you guys are growing up around jazz history. You know, I mean, it's like ingrained in your blood when you're doing this stuff, and all these guys are coming through your house. It's probably osmosis. You're just picking up things from them that you didn't even realize until later on when you're playing. And you're like, oh, yeah, wait a minute. I remember this or that.
Yeah. Dwayne, you want to elaborate on something?
Basically, that is correct. You know, not only that, our father took us places too, you know, with various musicians. Sometimes he might be on the phone. He might be talking to somebody, as an example, maybe Johnny Hodges or somebody early. And he would put me on the phone and talk to him. I didn't know who these musicians were then, but he'd have us talking to them on the phone. You know?
So I guess my question is the next step. So you guys ended up going to the same college, you know, Florida A&M. And then after college, you went back to St. Louis. You never had a desire to go to New York, or did you guys end up in New York for a little while?
Well, actually, we thought about going to New York, but it was undecided because we were gigging in Florida before we left. We were playing a lot in Florida. We played all over Florida, Georgia, and Alabama during that time. But when we came back, we were trying to decide whether we were going to go to New York or go to California. And our parents said, well, why don't you get yourself together, organize what you want to do while you're here? Well, and meanwhile, I started teaching. Well, I never knew that I'd end up teaching a full career with only a few years off with a leave of absence and stuff like that. But when we would go out of town, out of country, on the road or something for a short stint and come real quick stint and come back and teach. But, you know, those years of teaching, you know, starting a family, that kind of thing. And we, here we are still in St. Louis, which is our hometown and we love it. But that's how we ended up staying in St. Louis.
Well, and you know, you guys can tell me if I'm wrong, but it's probably similar to like the guys that are in Chicago that ended up staying in Chicago, but were able to go and travel and tour, because St. Louis, Chicago, I mean, even Indianapolis to a certain extent, it lends itself to guys coming through town. You get picked up, you guys maybe play as a sideman or something as they're coming through town. Then they get to know you. And then they probably pick him and say, hey, you guys want to go do a tour with us for this or for that, because that way you didn't have to sit in New York and fight against 15,000 people that play saxophone. They're coming through St. Louis. You get to know the guys, and then they probably think of you guys when they're looking for a sax player, right? I mean, it seems like that's a great plan, actually.
It was a great plan. Also, we had kids come about it, family members. So we dealt with that too, you know, taking care of our families.
Sure, sure. And also, I think St. Louis is a lot better place to raise a family than Manhattan.
Mike, while we're here also, we ended up playing, performing for several years with Fontella Bass and the Voices of St. Louis. So we traveled, you know, various places throughout the country, throughout the world, you know, with Fontella.
Mm-hmm. So
well, we did Europe extensively with her. And that was started, Dwayne, when did you start playing with Fontella? Back in 1998, 1990, something like that. And I joined playing with her in about 1999. I think you were there in 1997, 98, Dwayne. And we played with her for a number of years. Dwayne did several albums with her, and I did a couple albums with her. One over in Europe, and then one here that was done in St. Louis from Just in Time Records out of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, then the Bossman Twins went on getting back into what we were doing, our own thing mainly anyway. I want to say something about the Bossman Twins sound, because
mm-hmm.
You asked me what would people be looking for. And I think that, I don't know how to describe it except that, I think that we have uniquely our own sound, and that's either for us. I'm a thumbs up or a thumbs down. I don't know totally how to describe it, except that I think we do have elements from St. Louis. Some of those same elements, but are different. I think St. Louis Chicago, St. Louis, and Kansas City have probably more blues alignment in this jazz as opposed to New York sound. But here we have a certain amount of blues integration within our sound, I think.
I'd like to elaborate on that, what Dwight is saying. Our sound basically is, but it's a mixture of somewhat like in between straight ahead and gospel and blues funk. When you combine those elements, that's the kind of sound we have. And our sound is pretty much raw.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we sound different from other people. And we don't take the same approach, but it's still kind of bluesy and funky and straight ahead. It's just a mixture, but we got that spiritual feeling.
But additionally, Dwayne, when we want to do our avant-garde kinds of things, you know, we grew up in the 60s, also BAG, Black Artist Group, was here. And from that, members from that was the World Saxophone Quartet, spinoff from that, and Lester Boy with going to Chicago. Brass Fantasy and the Chicago Art Ensemble and all that kind of thing. So we still have elements of avant-garde also in our music when we want to as well.
Well, you know, it's interesting to me because, you know, when I talk to different groups, and I just did a podcast with Jane Bennett and McKay, and she's a saxophonist out of Toronto, and she has this Afro-Cuban group of all female from Cuba. And she is with them constantly because of visa stuff and everything, and they're connected. You know, maybe they're together for 6-7 months at a time, and they're all living in the same house and everything. And their sound gets really tight because they're living together and because they're playing off of each other and because they're just constantly around each other. Well, you guys, you guys are brothers. You've been playing together for over 40 years. So, you know, to me, is do you guys still constantly find new things to do and new creations? I mean, are you guys creating constantly? There's got to be some sort of improvisational stuff that you guys are doing on a regular basis that continues to grow in order to keep your interest, because otherwise you just kind of just do the same stuff. And then I would imagine a couple of creative people like yourselves would get bored. So there must be something that keeps you guys together, playing together, that keeps challenging you to keep growing as musicians.
Well, we have a competitiveness between the two of us for one, you know, that keeps us busy with that, because I don't want to let Dwayne outdo me, and he doesn't want me to outdo him. But still, you know, jazz is art. I think of it, you know, if I want to relate it to, say, sports, just think of basketball. Mm-hmm. Like one guy slam dunks, another guy finger rolls, another guy alley-oops, another guy does the sky hoop. The key is to get the ball in the basket, and there are a lot of different ways to do it. Some are more exciting.
Dwight, can you hear me?
From that point of view, we have a number of different approaches that we take. We believe in making sure that our audiences are trying to pay attention to what we're doing, because we put ourselves into it. We get involved with the musicians. And I think people have to understand that we're having a good time first before they can also have a good time.
Mm-hmm. Dwayne, what do you think about
that? Mike, I'm going to give you a little rundown about our sound. First of all, Dwight and I have two different sounds, completely different sounds, so they blend well. I think if we sound just alike, trying to be being twins, if we sound just alike, it would be monotonous. Mm-hmm. And therefore, that our sounds are different. And we play the various instruments, but flute will be, I will do more extensively flute, because I do play flute, alto flute, bass flute, and piccolo, although I won't have all those instruments with me when I come. But we'll play a gamut of what we do have. But we have different sounds. And my sound, and Dwight's too, is a little bit more gritty. Mm. Our sound is kind of gritty. And but we do believe in trying to get the audience involved and getting excitement and having fun and relaxed. So it's a good feel and excitement.
Well, and of course, everybody here in Chicago can go check all of this out for themselves live and in person at Winters Jazz Club. Of course, wintersjazzclub.com. I know Scott has tickets available right now, and I would suggest everyone picks up their tickets early so that you can get in, since it's going to be right after Christmas. And I know that there's going to be people out there doing their shopping, and that they always head on over to Winters Jazz Club to check out a show the day after Christmas, because they've got time to do it, and it's a great location, obviously. And, of course, to get more information on the Bosman Twins, thebosmantwins.com is their website. Now, you guys are coming up. You guys are going to be playing at Winters on December 26th. Outside of that, do you have any recordings, any new things happening? Are you playing anywhere, touring anything? Anything we should be aware of, or let any of our listeners be aware of for 2020?
We're planning on going into the studio for the first of the year.
Oh, okay.
And right now, we want
new music. We're working on new music.
We like for people to look out for the album if they haven't heard it already or don't know about it. When Lions Roar, and that's none of the material that we perform will come from that album for the Chicago stint at Winters. Winters is a beautiful club. A lot of cats have played there. We'd like to come back, and we'd like to come back with more than one night. Mm-hmm. So that we can get into some other things as well.
You know, a quick question to both of you guys, since you guys are talking about going into the studio and doing things, especially in the first of the year. I mean, when you guys sit down and you write music together, what's the process on that? Because I'm always curious to know that, especially coming from like a woodwind standpoint. You know, a pianist has their own thing, a bass player, blah, blah, blah. But I'm always curious, and especially two brothers writing music together, is there something that you guys sit down and write together, or does one person bring in an idea and you guys grows from there?
We do some things together, but mostly different, because with our styles being different, we write individually a lot. Mm-hmm. Like even on that CD that you have, like Dwight wrote a tune called Pootie, and the tune When Lions Roar, I wrote that. So the styles are somewhat different, and we have a couple of ballads and different things on there, funky stuff.
But also, to your question as well, like Dwayne may write something. We were looking forward for the new album, and then I'll listen to what he's written, and then I can come in and augment to what he's doing, or vice versa. I'll have something, and then Dwayne can share into my idea, and he can mold the piece so that we can have it together. So that's what we're looking forward to in the new year. More music.
Every now and then we'll write something for each other, because like Dwight wrote Cruising Through the Mall, and he basically wrote that tune with me in mind, because I take the flute solo on there. We both are playing two flutes on there. And so, you know, I thought it was really nice that he could allow me to play one of his tunes.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have such a great collaboration, and I'm looking forward to meeting you in person. I'm going to try to get over there December 26th. I know.
We're looking forward to meeting you.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to meeting you. We've heard a number of your interviews and with some very fine musicians as well, and it's always interesting to hear what other cats have to say, what they're thinking about and their experiences and how it relates to us and how it's different from ours.
And I know that you're a very sharp musician yourself.
Well, I try, you know. I always joke that I'm just a drummer with a podcast and a video show. That's all I'm doing here. So, you know, in between gigs, you know. So, well, I'm looking forward to meeting you guys, and hopefully everybody will get out December 26th, Winters Jazz Club. Of course, Winters Jazz Club is located at 465 North McClurg Court. It's right McClurg and Illinois. It's right on the Ogden Slip, if everyone's familiar with that. That's where that waterway is, and they are facing that. It's a great spot to pop in, have a glass of wine before the show, check out all of the different sights and sounds, and especially during the holiday season, there's going to be a lot of great stuff. It's just off Michigan Avenue, a couple of blocks, so it's very simple. So visit Scott's Winters Jazz Club. Scott Stegman, of course, is the owner, wintersjazzclub.com. And, of course, the Bosman Twins, December 26th. Guys, thanks so much for taking a few minutes and jumping on. And man, this is fascinating. I hope everybody gets out to hear you guys, and I know I'm going to try to get over there too. So looking forward to
Thank you.
And, of course, keep me posted when you guys do more recordings and things are happening here in 2020, because I'd love to have you back on, and hopefully maybe we can even do a video interview in person at some point.
No, we look forward to it.
We're looking forward to it. And we'd like to.
And we're also honored to be on your show.
And it's my pleasure.
Well, thanks so much, guys. I really appreciate it. It's an honor to have you guys on my show. And, of course, everyone can hear more of the shows at ChicagoJazz.com, ChicagoJazzMagazine.com, and everywhere you can pick up a podcast, all the different platforms. And if you'd like to see video interviews that we have of the Talkin' Jazz series, that, of course, is also available at ChicagoJazz.com. So hopefully the guys will see you December 26th. Hopefully I will see you there. And if I don't, and if they don't, hopefully we will see you somewhere out on the scene.